I wonder whether you received any special gifts or offers of help this Christmas. And how was it like to receive something really longed for, or perhaps receiving some unexpected blessing? In our reading today, we see a very long-awaited promise fulfilled, and we'll be exploring that together just in the next few minutes. It's the last Sunday of 2020, and what a year it has been. We're likely to have quite mixed feelings about it all. Perhaps pleased that it's nearly over, but also trepidations about what might lie ahead of us. What will the new year bring? We may have mixed feelings about Christmas, how it's been so far, whether it has met our expectations or exceeded them. Likely to have sort of joys and disappointments, especially with the new restrictions in place. You may have had to change your plans at the last minute and not see people you wanted to. This Christmas season that we've followed all through the Advent until now is a time, a special time of waiting and watching in anticipation of something that has been firmly promised to us, God's rescue plan in Jesus. We've looked in turns at God's gift of hope, peace, love and joy, all promised and offered in the coming of Christ and ultimately brought into full fruition in his second coming that we're still longing for, looking forward to. The story of Jesus unfolding through the history, prophecies such as Isaiah and Micah given hundreds of years ago, Samuel over 1,000 years ago, just to mention a few. The whole of the Bible revealing God's commitment to his creation, his love for us, his redemption plan. God, who is totally beyond time and above time, and yet works through history as we know it, through ordinary people, through everyday life, and yet often in very unexpected and surprising ways, bringing his promises into fruition through human history. In our story, this is now a few weeks on after Jesus' birth. He's about 40 days old. His parents are bringing him to the temple in Jerusalem according to a Jewish custom. It was both to present a firstborn son to God and give thanks to his life, but also for purification of the mother. And the kind of sacrifice that they give indicates that Joseph and Mary were poor. Sacrifices were offered according to financial ability, and a pair of doves or two young pigeons was a poor person's offering. Simeon is prompted by the Spirit to enter the temple courts at the same time as Jesus is there. Simeon is described as a righteous and devout man, someone who is seeking God and living accordingly with his actions and his attitude, a prayerful man submitted to God. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Israel, who've had a very turbulent history, they only really occupied a land of their own for about 500 years. The rest of their history is that of being a wandering people or living in exile, living under occupation. And this is the nation that God has chosen to show his presence with us. At the time of Jesus' birth, once again, they are under occupation. They know that God has promised a Messiah who will one day set them free, that God does have a plan for them. And for the Holy Spirit to be on Simeon, as described here, is quite unique in itself. We know that the Holy Spirit was only poured out more and more widely accessible to all people from the time of Pentecost onwards. And though God has always been speaking through people and through world events, up until this time, only a handful of individuals appeared to hear directly from God in the way that we see in here, or have the Holy Spirit on them as described on Simeon. And it's not clear to me whether Simeon knows why he is prompted to go to the temple at this time. It becomes clear when he sees Jesus and Holy Spirit convinces him that Jesus is the Messiah the Jews are waiting for. And there is something quite extraordinary on that in this 40-day-old baby. He sees a Messiah. Quite a surprising sight. But did he know that beforehand? Or did he simply follow the Holy Spirit's prompting? And as he walked in obedience, more was revealed to him. And I think that is something for us to take, that God doesn't always reveal everything at once or ahead of time. It requires us walking in his lead, tuning in, hearing him, and step by step, recovering more of his plans and purposes for us. It takes patience and perseverance in prayer. Simeon has clearly been anticipating this moment for a good while. And same for us. We may have to wait for a long time for something to come into fruition. And then we have those moments when it's absolutely clear that God is speaking and leading. And this was a day that Simeon would see this long-awaited Messiah. Now this is big. He is literally holding the promised Saviour in his arms. And what he says is significant and points to God who keeps his promises. This is known as the Nunc Dimittis, which is now repeated every day in the Compline, the Church of England night prayer. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. He has speed of peace about his life, whether he lives or dies from now on. And that's quite a thing to say, displays this ultimate trust in God. And it might be obvious to think that he must be old to say that, but I don't know whether it actually the text tells us whether he is old or not. He might be. But there was a real sense of peace and purpose about his life and where he was ultimately heading. And I believe that comes from that sense of closeness and connection with God that he enjoyed through the Holy Spirit. The general expectation among Jews was that the Messiah would literally set them free as a nation, as a country. But Simeon sees deeper and wider than that. He sees that Jesus is going to divide opinions. Some will accept him, others won't. He sees that Jesus is both for Jews and Gentiles, for the whole world. He sees the sacrifice and the pain to come, as well as the glory. And this is true for us too. There is real, true, and comfort and joy in following Jesus, being utterly loved by God. And yet, it doesn't mean that it's all going to be plain sailing. There's pain in the offering too. And the road might be tough. But God is faithful. His promises to us are true. And he will see us in safety with and in him. We are told that Mary and Joseph marveled at what was said about Jesus here. Earlier in the passage, after the shepherds had visited, we hear that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. There was much for the parents to take in, a young couple working the early days of their life together with this extraordinary child that they had not planned themselves to have. But they step in faith to become parents of Jesus, to raise this child who will become the saviour of us all. And sometimes we forget that Jesus was a boy. He lived a normal life. We have this birth story and the shepherds and the angels and the wise man and all the attention around the baby. And then records of his ministry later on. But there's about 30 years in between where we don't know much about his daily life, apart from a few accounts. But it does appear that he lived an ordinary life under the guidance of his parents, learning the trade of his father and learning to lean on God as he grew up. A lot of the time, the parents don't fully see what is going on and who he really is, and that is probably a blessing. When you think of it, it's a lot to take in, possibly too much. And I think there's a consolation for all of us in that, that God holds the big picture. He has a plan and purpose for us all. Ultimately, our destination is to be with him in eternity, and that journey starts here, right here and now, in our everyday. And it matters, it's not a second rate in any way. But I remember someone quoting something along the lines of this autumn, that if we focus on future, we are likely to get anxious. But if we have our focus on the eternity, we are more likely to, that will bring peace for the present time. God leads us in the everyday towards where he is calling us, in the here and now. Lots of times when I've been uncertain about the future and I've been longing to see further ahead, desperate to see what's around the corner. But looking back, I've actually been quite grateful that I didn't. I only saw the steps that I needed for the time, because if I'd seen it all, it might have overwhelmed me. So I think there was protection in there, and also call to really trust in God in each step along the way, to have reassurance of his presence, of moving along where he's calling me to. And if we look back to March, when we were told the first lockdown that it would probably last till end of June, and I'm not sure if many of us really believed, I certainly probably didn't in my mind believe that it was really going to be 3 months, and it seemed such a long time at the time. And if I'd known then there would be another one in November, that would have probably been a bit too much to bear. And there may still be a very challenging months ahead of us. But God holds us firmly within his promises and in his presence. He gives us the strength that we need now. He won't leave us, but will continue to guide us through. And we can take strength and refuge from that sure promise of his. And we can be there for each other in that uncertainty of what's around us, but certainty that the Lord is with us. We have that lovely image of the lady who first received the vaccination as a visual symbol of true hope, of promise of better days to come. And we can praise and thank God for that. And of course, the vaccination itself is not going to bring us the freedom. God is. But it is a sign, one of the many signs of a hope to come. So Simeon is revealed Jesus' true nature in this baby of only a few weeks old, totally dependent on his parents for his nurture and safety at this point. Quite a surprising sight. And this revelation gives Simeon such peace about his future. And we have Anna, who lived at the temple premises, had been totally committed to prayer for most of her life. She was open to hear God and recognized Jesus as the one bringing redemption. And she was giving glory and thanks to God and immediately starting to share with others around her this good news that had come and been revealed to her. And as we near the end of 2020, it will be helpful just to look back and recognize God's hand in our lives, and good to name some specifics that we can say thank you for him for, where he really has been there for us. They don't have to be big, but it does help to focus our minds on the Lord and his provision, and build trust in him for days to come, and trust in his leading. Not dismissing the difficulties and challenges which are real, in particular this year, but trusting his guidance and his presence to be with us, his promises to be true for us. his purposes to be fulfilled in our lives as we go on in trusting him. And so that we can move into 2021 with that sense of expectation of God leading us, who will not let go of us. And I think we need that. And in Jesus, we truly do have that promise. So with a renewed commitment to go deeper with Jesus this coming year, we can see what he has in store for us in his kindness, in his grace. And we can help each other to see that God truly has a purpose and a plan for each one of us as we tune in to hear his voice and enjoy his presence and his lead in this coming year. Amen.